Welcome, everybody, to Flame Tree. Well, I wondered if you would welcome one of your own. This is Pastor Paul Lanham, if you're a visitor. And, you know, you don't get to really announce your own too much, you know. So I'm going to take this time. Paul is, you know, an awesome person to work with. He really is. He's just really very wise. Paul's very wise. I don't know if you know he was a teacher, but I love the way he brings history into preaching and teaching and just his approach to see the word. Highly successful business, father, husband, pastor. He's just a great guy. Would you be upstanding and welcome Paul Lanham to preach?
After that introduction, I'm really eager to hear what I've got to say this morning. Looking forward to myself, actually. It's going to be hard because I want to speak and take notes of myself at the same time. So I guess I'll just have to get the recording and do that so that I can enjoy it. Actually, I really don't like listening to myself at all. So if you do, God bless you. Good on you. Look, I was away. Those of you who know, we were away with the team in Thailand for a while, and I'm not sure if we acknowledged or welcomed back Barb Schwabe. Did that happen? We're going to do it today. Barbara Schwabe, would you please stand? Let's honour this woman. Dave mentioned those doing mission work, and we so appreciate all that Barbara does. Most of it can't be talked about because of the very nature of it, but what a remarkable woman and a remarkable work of God in her and through her. And we are so blessed to be able to send you and so blessed to be able to receive you, Barbara. You're a great blessing to the body of Flame Tree. Thanks, Cheryl. The scripture that I want to speak from this morning is from Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. You know it well. It's the scripture that Jesus brought at the commencement of his ministry years when he stood up in the temple and read this. The Spirit of the Lord, the Sovereign Lord, is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And this morning I want to focus on the fact that we are called oaks of righteousness or trees of righteousness. We didn't give ourselves that name. God has given us that name. We are called oaks of righteousness or trees of righteousness. If you are in Christ, it doesn't matter what you think about yourself concerning this declaration. The Lord declares over you, you are an oak of righteousness. Whether you see yourself as that or not, you are declared an oak of righteousness. As Dave has already mentioned, that this week in Israel has been a tumultuous week, with the discovery of the three young men who had been murdered. They'd been missing for a number of weeks and they were discovered murdered, and there was such an outpouring of grief because in Israel this isn't an isolated event. whatever happens to one person happens to the nation. It's a little bit different in Australia, but in Israel, whatever happens to one happens to all. They've got a great and deep sense of this. So as we talk about oaks of righteousness or trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, I was interested looking over what Israel's president and Israel's prime minister had to say at the event of the funeral of those young men. Of course, there were tens of thousands of people who came from all over Israel to attend the funeral. Many of them came not specifically knowing why they were there, but knowing that they needed to be there. Because this was an event that was significant in the life of this people that God has called out. This people who don't all know their identity, but are coming into a knowledge of their true identity. And yet they have a great sense of history and a great sense of identity. This is a little bit of what their president, Shimon Peres, said as he spoke at that funeral. We are an ancient people, united and deeply rooted. A nation with a soul that yearns. A nation which demonstrates resilience like no other. A nation that even in its years of exile never lost its way. And you see there him alluding to their planting. He speaks about their roots, that they are deeply rooted, and they are deeply rooted in that land. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in speaking, addressed the families, and a part of what he said was, the nation understood immediately, and this is referring to the horrific event that occurred, the nation understood immediately the depth of the roots and the strength of spirit you possess. The whole nation stood together and received a reminder. Who are we? Why are we here? It's a question that he said the families of these young boys brought to the nation. Who are we? And why are we here? And it's a question that resonates for us today. Who are we and why are we here? It's not just isolated to the nation of Israel that at that stage. It comes to us as well. If you think that the events in Israel are somehow isolated from the rest of the world, just follow what happens in Israel. They are not isolated. The things that happen in the rest of the world are happening in Israel. There's a barometer there. We get to see what's happening, particularly when it comes to the church. And more than ever, as Benjamin Netanyahu posed this question to a nation, I pose it to us as those who are in Christ this morning. Who are we and why are we here? If we don't know who we are, we won't know why we are here. We must be able to answer two questions. And amazingly, Isaiah 61 has already answered the question. Who are we? We are oaks of righteousness. Why are we here? We are planted by the Lord, and it doesn't stop there. We are planted by the Lord for the display of his splendor. We are not here on our own account. We did not get here by ourselves, and we are not here for ourselves. We have come to this point in time because he has brought us here. And he has planted us in this place, in this time, as oaks of righteousness. And we don't say that about ourselves. I say again, he says that about us. You are oaks of righteousness, and you are the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. We started our service this morning acknowledging that it's all about him. Mike shared a testimony that again said it's all about him. Without him, we can't do anything, but through him, we shall do valiantly. Why? Because we are oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. He didn't put us there so we wouldn't do anything. He put us there to display His splendor, His loving kindness, His tender mercy, to display His heart for us, through us. And when we discover His heart for us, all of the praise goes back to Him. We don't want to keep any for ourselves because we know this isn't mine. It belongs to Him. And I'm so glad I can give it back to Him. What a wonder that we have. As we come and praise this morning and we say, Lord, we're giving You our praise, but really we're giving Him His praise. Because we didn't get it for ourselves. We got it from Him, for Him. And so we bless Him this morning. Who are we? We are oaks of righteousness. Why are we here? We're planted by the Lord for the display of His splendor. Trees are an important symbol. They're an important symbol in Israel. Very, very symbolic. You read something of the history of Israel and trees feature all of the time. Not only literal trees, but the images of trees and the lessons that they teach us. Apparently, there was a rabbi in Israel in years gone by who was so intent with the need to plant trees, to see barren land covered in trees, that one of his teachings was, if you are planting a tree when the Messiah returns, finish planting the tree first before you go and greet Him. Don't leave off planting the tree. Finish the job that you've started. Plant the tree and then go and greet the Messiah, because planting trees is really important. Remember, this is a rabbi's interpretation. You won't find that here, but he obviously did. Another reason that trees are so important in Israel is during the Ottoman period, where the Ottoman Empire had overrun that part of the land, it's typical of governments. You have governments, you have taxes. Where you have a government, you have a tax. And they came up with a wonderful means of raising revenue. Do you have a tree in your yard? We will tax it. Nobody clapped and cheered about the capacity to pay taxes. Back then, just as we are, they wanted to minimise their taxes. A way of minimising their taxes was to chop the tree down so you don't have to pay tax on it. So people who had trees, unwilling to pay taxes, chopped them down. So right across the nation, there were trees chopped down and the land was denuded. Since 1908, when there was a real move to replant in the land of Israel, since that period of time until now, over 240 million trees have been planted in Israel. It's only one of two nations that came into the new millennium with more trees than they had when they started it. So it's a nation that knows about planting trees, and it's a nation that knows about the value of trees. Many trees there, as in Australia as well, many times trees are planted in memory of those who have gone before or in memory of those who have paid a great sacrifice. And so trees are very, very important. People will go from all over to look at trees for all sorts of purposes. Thanks, Cheryl. And we did that. We pilgrimed to Rockefeller Center. We took a photo of that's my lovely daughter-in-law, Kate, and there just happened to be the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree in the background. So there you go. 45,000 LED lights on it. You'd like to have the contractor put lights on that Christmas tree, wouldn't you? And it's between about 20 to 30 metres high, and you can't get close to it because there's too many people. But we did discover this. You can get really close to it after 11:30 p.m. because they turn the lights out. And no, when the lights are out, nobody's attracted to it. They don't go to look at the tree with no lights on it, no lights lit up. But we did, and it wasn't nearly as impressive as it is when it has lights on it. Thanks, Cheryl. This is one of the cities in Israel, and you'd probably recognize that in it is an Australian eucalypt. This is a lemon-scented gum, and there were many eucalypts planted in Israel. They were Australian eucalypts. God sees trees as extremely important because it says in Genesis 1:11-12, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And so it was. The land produced vegetation, plant-bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God said that it was good. Because of God's reasoning for seeing the need to preserve trees and to use them well, he even talked about husbandry of trees. In Deuteronomy 20:19-20, he says, when you lay siege to a city for a long time, fighting against it to capture it, do not destroy its trees by putting an axe to them, because you can eat their fruit. Do not cut them down. Are the trees people that you should besiege them? However, you may cut down the trees that you know are not fruit trees and use them to build siege works until the city at war with you falls. So there was even a way in which they were to deal with trees. Proverbs 11:30 talks about the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. The fruit of the righteous. We saw earlier that we are oaks or trees of righteousness, and we are planted for the display of his pleasure. It's not just how we look, not just like the big Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center, which you can just go and look at it, but it doesn't do much for you. You can just look, you can take photos, but you don't get much from it. But Scripture talks specifically about trees that bear fruit with seed in them, because the life of the tree is contained in that seed. And the fruit not only gives life to the one who eats, but it perpetuates the life of that particular species of tree. When God is talking about us being oaks of righteousness for the display of his pleasure, a part of what is being talked about there is the fruit that we produce that brings benefit to those around us and perpetuates the life of God through us. If we look in God's word, there are many, many testimonies of wonderful people in there. And we think, well, that's the end of their testimony. Look around today. Their testimony is continuing on. How many of us have been blessed and received such encouragement from the writings of the Apostle Paul? His testimony goes on. How many of us have been encouraged by the life of Joseph as we've read his story and his testimony? It's not finished. It goes on in us today. The testimony of these people, the seed of these people, the fruit of these people's lives didn't die with them. It goes on. And so it is with you and me, because we're called to be trees of righteousness for the splendor of the Lord. And he is all about life, life, and more life. He isn't about end and death. He is about life. The word says in him is life. So in us as trees of righteousness is not death but life. Life that goes on. We are called to perpetuate life, not only through in ourselves but to those around us. And so we look at this scripture from Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who saves lives is wise. Thanks, Cheryl. This is at Yad Vashem in Jerusalem. It's the avenue of the righteous, or a part of the avenue of the righteous among the nations. And if you've been there, you'll know that the trees represent different people or different families or different groups of people who went out of their way during the Holocaust to show mercy and kindness and help to Jewish people. One of the people whose name has been associated with the Avenue of the Righteous among the nations is a Chinese man by the name of Feng Shan Ho. His name, it's a cool name. His name, Mr. Ho's name, means Phoenix on the Mountain. What a cool title, Phoenix on the Mountain. And he's remembered as the Chinese Oscar Schindler. And many people had never heard his story. They didn't know anything much about him. He was born in 1901 in rural Hunan province in China. He was born into poverty. He was fatherless by the time he was seven. But through education, he was educated well in China, and then he studied at Munich University and entered the Chinese Foreign Ministry, becoming Consul General in Vienna about the time of the real rise of Nazis to power. It was about that time that Kristallnacht took place, about that time that the Avian Conference was held. That was the conference where they discussed what will we do with this problem of Jewish people who've lived for thousands of years hundreds of years in a country. They've been citizens of the country, and now they are not citizens anymore. They are stateless and they are homeless. And it was said of that time, a Jewish person speaking about it said, the world was divided into two groups for us as Jews: the countries in which we were no longer citizens and the countries to which we would not be given permission to live. And sadly, Australia was one of the nations that said, oh, we've got enough problems of our own, we don't need any more. But this man, Feng Shan Ho, Consul General in Vienna, was in a position of power, brought to the kingdom for such a time as this, I believe. And against orders, he issued visas to Jews to get them to Shanghai. You didn't actually need a visa to get into Shanghai, and it wasn't so much that they could get to Shanghai as much as they could get out of Europe. Nobody knows how many visas this man issued as in his role of Consul General in Vienna. Some say it may have been 100,000, may have been more. Or 1,000, sorry, there were 200,000 Jews in Vienna at that stage, so it may have been hundreds, it may have been thousands of people he gave exit visas to, against the specific command of his superior. He made a decision. And he said, I'm going to give you life, 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 life. And for him, ultimately, he was penalized for it. He didn't lose his life, but he was penalized because of what he had done. But after his death, Yad Vashem found out about him and they awarded him the title of Righteous Among the Nations. That took place in 2000. But here's the thing, and his daughter spoke about this. What was his motivation for doing this? What caused him to give life to people who weren't even his own people? No doubt he had Jewish friends. No doubt he even sympathized with them. But what caused him to go against the flow and say, I'm going to give life to these people? Somebody had done it for him. That was his motivation. When he was a little boy, 7 years old, no dad, living in dirt, poor poverty, some Lutheran Norwegian missionaries saw potential in that little boy. And they got him to school. And they got him food. And they got him clothes. And they gave him an education. His daughter, looking back on it, said, I think that's why he did it. The fruit of the righteous goes on and on and on, and the fruit of the righteous gives life, life, and more life. Don't ever despise a day of small things. Don't ever despise a small 7-year-old fatherless boy. He was raised up to save a nation who weren't even his people. Genesis 2:9 says, the Lord God, thank you, Cheryl. That's Mr. Ho. That's the man we've just been talking about. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We've just been talking about choices. And one of the powerful things that we have been given in our lives is the power to choose. As oaks of righteousness, as trees of righteousness, we have been given great power to choose to do the right thing. But we can also choose to do the wrong thing. We've been given the power of agreement with heaven or of agreement with earth. So many of us have grown up thinking that we have to agree with earth first, and maybe heaven can find a way to fit in. If Mr. Ho had believed that, he wouldn't have saved a solitary person, because he believed that there was a call from heaven first and then a call to earth. In fact, in a poem he wrote this: the gifts heaven bestows are not by chance, the convictions of heroes not lightly formed. When we find ourselves in that position where we need to make a decision, we can go for the heavenly decision or we can go for the earthly decision. And you know the story of Adam and Eve. They were told it was pretty simple. There are two trees there. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can eat of all the other ones, but don't eat of that one. And they made the decision. They made a choice. And we've lived under the curse of that choice ever since. But for those of us who are oaks of righteousness, we are not victims of that choice anymore. We see the effects of it all around us. We see the effects in our own lives, but we are not victims. We are no longer victims of that choice, because we, as oaks of righteousness, are new creations. Scripture tells that very clearly. We are new creations. The old things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new, including the capacity for us to choose life. So we see there life and death. And I don't know about you, but it's a pretty easy choice, isn't it? Choose life. But it may be an easy choice, but many times it's a costly choice. There's a difference between knowing what to do and doing it and paying the price for doing it. Sometimes if you do the right thing, you'll pay a price for it. There were many, many of those people whose names appear in the Avenue of the Righteous Gentiles, and they lost their lives because they chose to save Jewish people. Did they do the right thing? Of course they did. They paid a heavy price. But they made the right choice, and we are given the power to make the right choice. As oaks of righteousness, every time we make the right choice, we produce life and more life. Thanks, Cheryl. Psalm 1:1-3 says this: blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. That's God's purpose for you as a tree of righteousness, that whatever you do prospers. Will you have trouble? Of course. Of course you'll have trouble. Of course you will. We live in a world full of trouble, but Jesus himself says, don't worry. Don't worry, I've overcome the world. I'll take you through, or I'll take you round, or I'll take you over. Whatever way, I'm above trouble. Don't worry about that. Whatever you do will prosper as you choose to make the right decision, as you choose to be that tree of righteousness that you've been given the power to be. There was a time, there were many times actually, but there was a time when Judah was backsliding badly from following the Lord, but their religion made them look good. They dressed themselves up well. They looked good to human eyes. They smelt good. They did the right thing. People looking at them and judging them by worldly standards, by earthly standards, would say, wow, those people look good. You know, they're looking good today. As people of Judah, God must be pretty pleased with them because they look good. But what they had created was a false identity. And God said, I'm going to show you what you really look like. And so there's this instead verse from Isaiah 3:24. And so it shall be, instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth. And instead of beauty, branding. God said, I'm going to show you what you really look like. You can make yourself up to be something that you're not, but this is what you really look like. You're already dead. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. We read that scripture from Isaiah about God showing people what they were like. They had put on the stuff that made them look good, but he said, that's not what you're really like. That's not what your hearts are like. But for us, it's time to put off the old stuff and to put on the new. Not to put the new over the old, but to put off the old. To no longer live with it, to no longer find it acceptable and go, it's okay. We are being asked to put it off, to change our mind, to walk in repentance. What is walking in repentance? Walking in repentance is walking in heaven's way of thinking. The highest form of thinking is walking in repentance. And we need to keep coming back to what in this case is the highest form of thinking. How are we meant to respond to this? Logic, reason, and rational thinking are not a substitute for wisdom, because wisdom comes from heaven. Dr. Caroline Leaf, some of you have heard her speak, maybe read her books. She's a cognitive neuroscientist, talks about trees of our minds. That good thoughts in our minds actually create healthy trees, as it were. Because they put out these signals that lead to health and lead to well-being and lead us to think thoughts that lead to goodness, to think thoughts that lead to fruit, that think thoughts that cause there to be healthy choices. And when you make a healthy choice, what do you get? A healthy consequence. It mightn't always be safe, but there's a difference between safe and being healthy. Actually, making healthy choices apparently can rewire our brains. Scripture talks about our minds being renewed. Some of us are so attached to the familiar tracks that our minds go down that we just keep going down them. And today God is saying to us, cut off that. How do we cut that off? We cut it off by the power of the blood of Jesus and his testimony. That's how we cut it off. Don't go down there anymore. That's an unhealthy choice. This is what you should be going down. And our brain gets rewired so that we don't go down any longer the things that have caused unhealthy thinking, or as somebody once said, stinking thinking. No more stinking thinking. We need to cut those things off so that we think healthy thoughts and we make healthy choices and we have healthy consequences. If we dwell on the wrong things, we will become fearful. How many of you know that the enemy loves fear? He loves to ride in on fear. We can give him a foothold just by thinking badly about things. And you can get fearful about anything. Anything at all. I'm not going to suggest anything this morning because it might be something that you are familiar with and brings fear to you. There are many things that can bring fear to you, and the enemy loves it. It's time today to say, no more. No more. We're cutting that off by the powerful virtue of the blood of Jesus, and we've sung about it. We've done it this morning together over communion. We have said we are new creations. We are no longer bound by fear and bound by the circumstances that cracked their whips over us in the past. We are free of that because we're new creations, and we get to respond to heaven because we are oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Not for the display of fear and darkness and things that cripple us, not only physically, but spiritually and emotionally. So Ephesians 4:22 to 24 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Thank you, Cheryl. And we read earlier in that scripture from Isaiah 61. There is a trade. We are to put off, to put on. No ashes anymore. No mourning anymore. No spirit of despair anymore. We are to put those things off so that we can put on beauty, oil of joy, and the garment of praise. 1 Peter 3:3-4 says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, that's easy for me, wearing gold or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. We are to put on that beauty. Isaiah, talking about the oil of joy. Isaiah 55:12 says, but you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all of the trees shall clap their hands. They clap their hands. Why? Because they're joyful. They don't go, oh, well, yeah, oh, whatever. Have you ever seen people do a whatever clap? Have you ever seen people give a joyful clap? It's nothing like give a joyful clap. Let's see what it looks like. Oh, yay! Yes, yes, yeah. I knew that you knew. That's what a joyful clap looks like. The trees of the field clapping their hands. And this is why it's linked in with Isaiah 61, because we just proved trees can clap their hands because you're trees of righteousness. Can they clap their hands? Absolutely, because they are joyful. No more mourning, but joyful. Put on a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You remember Leah, who was the unloved wife of Jacob, and she the Lord blessed her and gave her son after son, and she got to another son, and she called that son's name Judah, and she said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah. She looked at this little boy and went, I praise the Lord because he's given me so much stuff. And as trees of righteousness, I say it because it's true. There is always an opportunity to praise him. Always an opportunity to praise him. If you can't think of anything, if you find yourself in that place where you can't think of anything, the place I always go back to is the cross. Go really quickly to the cross. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Scene of my death and scene of my life. Thank you. Thank you. So I can praise him. Always praise him. Proverbs 12:14 says, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. The fruit of our mouth has the power of death or life. It's not only what we speak to others, but I ask you this question this morning. What do you say to yourself? I know you talk to yourself. I know it. Some of you might go, oh, I never do. You do. Just own up to it. Just admit it. You talk to yourself. What do you say? When you talk to yourself, what do you say? Do you say about yourself what heaven says about you? All the time? Do you say what heaven says about you? The Lord's challenging us today. If we are indeed trees of righteousness, we are to speak over trees of righteousness what he speaks over trees of righteousness. What he speaks comes from heaven. Because we're the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Speak over your life what heaven says over your life. Thank you. There we have. You'll notice the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I've made long-suffering the biggest one there, because it is long-suffering. If you're wondering what long-suffering means, a simple explanation is patient endurance. That's what long-suffering is, patient endurance. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Those are things that will be evident in and on the life of a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. We'll see the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And Galatians says, against such there is no law. Why does God love the fruits of the Spirit? Because nothing can come against them. Nothing can come against them. And against them, there's no law. Have you ever said to a person, stop being so long-suffering? Stop being so joyful. Well, yes, people have said, stop being so joyful. But real joy doesn't stop. It goes on and on. Stop showing so much self-control. Stop being so gentle. Sick of your gentleness. Sick of it. Be less gentle. All of these things are good. That's why they're called fruit of the Spirit. They're good. When you see these things on somebody's life, oh, aren't they attractive? They're beautiful, beautifully attractive. We haven't received the spirit of the world, but we've received the mind of Christ. I was just reading, the last day or so, reading from Hosea. And as you know, Hosea was told to go out and take for himself a wife who was a prostitute. So we don't even really know whether the children that she gave birth to were his or somebody else's. Scripture says they were his children, but they may have been fathered by somebody else. We don't know. And this was the obedience and the patience of Hosea. And his first son, he was told to call Jezreel, because it was in the valley of Jezreel where Jehu, who became king of Israel, was ordered to wipe out the inheritance of King Ahab, who was a wicked king. It was also in the valley of Jezreel that Jehu, who had the opportunity to make right choices but didn't, and his family and kingly line was wiped out as well. And God, through Hosea, was saying, I've called a people who weren't a people because they didn't choose to follow me with their whole heart. And I yearned after them, and I did all I could to bring them to me, just like your wife Gomer, the prostitute, who comes back, but then she runs away again. And God, in effect, through this name, Jezreel, is saying, because you love to run away from me, I will scatter you like seed. And this is the wonder of God. He scatters his people like seed. Jezreel, scattered. They were scattered across the face of the globe. But then there's the opposite of this, because Jezreel, its more complete meaning is God plants. So what looked as if it was being scattered was God in his infinite goodness and his infinite wisdom saying, I really want to draw you to myself. That's what he's saying to us today. I really want to draw you to myself. It looks as if I've scattered you, but my heart is to draw you. My heart is to bring you to myself. So he speaks Jezreel over our lives. And it's interesting, as we see his heart yearning in our community to draw us to himself, we see even in Israel a yearning to bring people back from the four corners of the earth, from the north, the south, the east and the west. People have been drawn back to Israel. This was prophesied thousands of years ago that he would bring them back. And as he's drawing those back, he's drawing a people to himself who weren't a people. You and me, been drawn to himself. We even see Jews from places like India and China being drawn back to the nation of Israel, to the land of Israel. Astonishing. But it's for all of us, because God so loved the world. And he draws us today. Thanks, Cheryl, as we finish off. He says, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I'll betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. They shall answer Jezreel. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth. And I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. Let's pray. Father, we are overwhelmed by you this morning. We who were not a people have been called a people. You've so yearned for us. You've gone to all sorts of lengths to bring us to yourself. And we confess we've made mistakes and we've rebelled against you and we've done the wrong thing, but we acknowledge your call to us this morning, that you are saying to us here at Flame Tree, you are my people. And Lord, our simple response to you this morning is, and you are our God. And we thank you that you have called us and you've planted us as oaks, as trees of righteousness, planted by you for the display of your splendor. And we bless you this morning that you are so wonderful, you're so magnificent, you're so full of splendor. And we acknowledge that we haven't let that splendor shine through in the way we should. And so this morning we say, Father, here we are again. cause your splendor to shine through us so that we agree with heaven on every aspect of our thinking and our making of choices, that we will simply agree with heaven and say what heaven says. Just as eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I ask this morning, is there anybody here? And you're thinking, well, I'm not sure that I'm even a tree of righteousness. I'm not even sure this morning that the Spirit of God lives in me. I can't think of a time where I've asked God to come and take up residence in me, where I've asked God to make me new. If that's you, and you're perturbed somehow in your heart this morning, just thinking I've never really done that, could I say you need to do it today? You need to make that decision today. If that's you and you're saying, Paul, I need to make that decision and I'd like you to pray with me, just slip up your hand wherever you are. I'd love to pray with you. Just wherever you are in this building, slip up your hand. Well, for those who are saying, I haven't really lived as a tree of righteousness and I need to start doing that, today's the day that you can make that decision. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you for your call to us today. And we simply say yes. We respond to you. Thank you that you are our God. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
We need to really pray for Israel this week because the nation is possibly on the brink of war. Hamas are thinking to launch war on the excuse of this Palestinian young man who has been killed. Now, the Palestinians made a great fuss because the Israelis would not hand over his body for 2 days. In Islam, they say that a person must be buried the same day that they die. So they've made this a claim against Israel, that you've stopped us from following our tradition of burying this young man. But the reason why Israel kept his body was to make a closer examination of him. And they discovered that he had died before he was burnt. In other words, he wasn't burnt to death. He died by other means before his body was burned. And the fact seems to be that his family, particularly his mother, organized his death because he was a homosexual, and that's totally against Islamic law. So this whole fuss, right across Israel today, there are outbreaks of potential violence, and it's all over a lie, but it could degenerate into something very vicious against Israel. So pray especially for the nation that truth will prevail in Israel this week. God bless you.
I don't usually share stuff, but it just seemed really timely with all you're talking about oaks and stuff. And my heart started beating really fast, so I thought maybe I should share it as well. but like that Isaiah 61 verse 3, instead of a spirit of despair, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And this morning I was reading facts, or that just made me sound like a massive nerd. I don't usually read facts, but I was this morning.
Nerd is good.
Cool. I just happened to read this one this morning, and it said, it's a fact that oak trees get struck by lightning more than any other type of tree. And that made me think that we, as passionate lovers and proclaimers of Jesus, are the chosen people who the devil has to try and rise up extra strong against to defeat. And so I was thinking, I just had this little revelation, like the taller we become in Jesus, the more ferocity the devil will try to strike back with. So the more snares that are planted by the enemy, the more we should rejoice and praise Jesus, I reckon, because it means that we have more opportunities to allow Jesus to defeat the enemy and grow stronger and taller. So I think we should all rejoice when the enemy strikes. And it's just like the shadow proves the sunshine, the frequency with which the lightning strikes the oak trees proves the height and the strength of the tree as well. This is a little thought I had. I thought it was really interesting. Yeah.
Hey, that's a good word. If I'd have known that, Talia, I would have just got you to come up and preach. That was good preaching. Bless you. Have a wonderful day.